Okay, so we were picking up on Daf Mem Hei. So the Tanakhama in our Mishnah had said that when a single ear of leket becomes mixed in with the balabayit's produce, so the balabayit has to give maaser on one ear of grain and give it to the poor person as leket. And Elazar had said that doesn't work because in order for that to happen, the poor person has to have legal possession of the leket, in order to effect the exchange that they're going to do. So now the Gemara elaborates with the Tanakhama's way of dealing with the realizer's objection. So Rabbi Abahu, Bishem Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, dear Rabbi Yossi, the position of Tanakhama, namely that the poor person can affect the exchange, the trade for the ear of leket, even though he never acquired the leket through any sort of kinyan, is in line with the position of Rabbi Yossi. So which position are we talking of Rabbi Yossi? Now this may be predicated on the idea that Hefker Beitin can be used to grant people ownership and not just remove ownership, which is something we talked about earlier when we first dealt with Hefker Beitin. But this is from a Mishnah regarding Bechor. So Ditanin and Taman, so we learn in Bechorot that if you have the following case, if you have a Jew who has two animals, one of them is a Bechor, but he doesn't know which one. So the one that's a Bechor obviously has to go to the Kohen, because firstborn animals go to the Kohen. The second animal does not go to the Kohen, whichever one that is, because it's not a Bechor. However, whenever a Jew shechs a karbon, he has to give the matnot kahuna. He has to give the keva, the zro, and the lechayayim, right? The foreleg, the jaws, and the abu meisam to a kohen. So what do you do? Now, it happens to be that nowadays we try to avoid actually having to give the matnot kahuna. So we do that by primarily by introducing a non-Jewish partner into any arrangement with an animal, so that we don't have to deal with Kodesh floating around. So what do we do? So there's two positions. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol Shechalifav Biyad Kohen Patur Min HaMatanot. Very mayor Mechayev. So Rabbi Yossi says as follows, that where you have the this case where the animal ha the Yisrael has an animal, again, one of which in theory is a Bechor and one of which is not, so the animal is patur, the second animal, meaning the one that's not a bechor, is patur from matnot kahuna. What's the logic? So if the Israel had given the bechor to the kohen, and the kohen had then traded it back for the chulin animal, so then the kohen would no longer have any claim on the bechor, and the Israel would have fulfilled his obligation to give the Bechor to the Kohen. Thus, the Yisrael would now own the Bechor, and since it has the status of a Bechor with a Mum, he would be Pater from giving the Matnot Kahuna. So therefore, in the Mishnah's case, if the Yisrael is holding the Bechor back, and the Kohen never actually got it and never sold it back to him, he just got a theoretical exchange for the animal, still, since the Kohen did get a different animal from the Israel, we treat it as if the Kinyan happened, and therefore the animal that the Israel has is patur from its matano. Now, obviously, if the animal he had given was the Bechor, then the animal that he holds was chulin and not related to the Bechor at all, so it should be chayev in the matnot kahuna, but the kohen can't obligate him to give it because hamotzeh mechaver ol baraya. He can't prove that is the case. So Rabbi Yossi says that he's exempt from the Matnot Kahuna entirely. And Rabbi Meir says no. Rabbi Meir says that the it is chayev in Matnot Kahuna based on a Mamon of Shach. Because I'll say like this, look, if the animal you have is the Bechor, so then I really have the right to the entire animal. So I definitely have the right to part of the animal, which are the Matnot Kahuna. And if that animal is not the Bechor, so then at least give me the Matnot Kahuna, because that's what is Magiali. That's what comes to the Kohen. So now if we plug it in, Rabbi Yossi holds that even though the Kohen never actually got the Bechor, the Chacham viewed it as if the legal exchange happened. And that's what gives the animal the status of machlife bechor, of an animal that was traded for a bechor, and that's what makes it patur. And if that's the case, then the same will be true in our Mishnah, that even though the poor person never actually took the leket, the rabbis virtually give it to him, which allows him to trade it with the balabayit for another ear of grain, and that's why we don't need to do a kinyan of the entire field. We only need to do a kinyan on a single grain. Amar Rabbi Ba. Rabbi Ba says, Divrei Rabbi Yossi tzarech lezakoto lakohen. He says, no, there is no such position. You're wrong. You are telling me that according to the Tanakama, according to Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah and Bechorot, that the Chachamim, that you don't have to do any sort of kinyan at all from the Yisrael to the Kohen. So this is not true. Everyone agrees that in order to enable the Kohen to have a virtual kinyan over the Bechor, to effectuate this change that creates the exemption from Matnot Kahuna, you need a kinyan. And therefore, according to Rabbi Bar, Rabbi Yossi means that only if the Yisrael actually did a kinyan to the Kohen, giving him the animal. And how would you do this? You could do something like getting a shaliach to act to be kona on his behalf, right? And just say, I'm kona on behalf of the kohen. So that makes it the kohen owns the bechor, and then the Israel gives an animal to the kohen and says, if this is the bechor, then great. And if it's chulin, then I'm giving to as a trade in the bechor, and you're giving the bechor to me instead. And now, even though it's possible that Yisrael is holding on to the chulin, it really is the animal traded for the Bechor. Not like in theory, but it actually is. So you see that according to him, he doesn't just rely on a virtual kinyan. You actually need a kinyan. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi says, Hada de Reba pliga de Resh Lakish. And this teaching of Rabbi Ba disagrees with Resh Lakish. Detanyan Taman. Because we learn in the Mishnah, now coming back to our case by Leket, Mizaket Ani Bechol Agadish. And so again, we'd seen two positions, right? Whether in order to deal with the Suffolk Leket, you give the poor person just a sheev, a single sheev, or you have to convey the entire stack to the poor person, then he gives it back minus the single grain. Uma'asr Shibol Rachat Vinotain. Lo, so he gives him the whole pile, then the owner gives maser on a single ear of grain and exchanges it for the leket. So from here, what we see, that based on Reb Elazar's position, that according to the Tanakhama, who he's arguing with, the owner does not need to do this. So Reish Lakish, who said that the Tanakhama's psak regarding leket is in line with Rabbi Yossi's position by Bechor, meaning that both are based on the idea that in certain cases the rabbis treated someone who hadn't done a kinyan as having done a kinyan. This is not in line with the position that we just introduced, because here he says, no, it's not that you, it's as if you did a kinyan. You actually did a kinyan. That's the only reason that it works. So Amar Rabbi Ba, Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Tzarech Lezakoto, Lakohen. According to Rabbi Yossi, the Israel who owns the animals must actually do a kinyan. Have a let he, dear Rabbi Yossi. So it shows that from Reba's interpretation of Rabbi Yossi, that the Tanakhama is not in line with this position. Right? Because according to Reba, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Lezer both agree that you have to do a kinyan on the whole field. The machlokas between them is about Rabbi Yossi. According to Reish Lakish, he holds that according to Rabbanan, even though you didn't acquire it, as if you acquired it, and Reba rejects it. So Amr Rabbi Mana call Garma Amra dehi de Rabbi Yossi. On the opposite, right? What are you talking about? Our entire Mishnah shows that the Tana Kama is like Rabbi Yossi, as explained by Rabbi Bab. Because according to Rabbi Lazar, when he argues on the Tana Kama, he says the owner has to give the entire stack to the poor person. So that means that according to the Tana Kama, the owner must give something to the poor person before effecting the exchange. So Tani Kuma Isavri Memar. So the Tana Kama holds that it's proper to say that Einam Ezagani Gadish, that he doesn't give the whole field, Elishibolarachad, he gives them a single grain. Tanaya Achraya Savri Memar, but Rabbi Eliezer Mizakarani Bechola Gadish. Now, according to this, everyone agrees that unless the owner somehow did a kinyan, he can't exchange it, right? So he says, look, in the end, yes, they argue about whether you have to be machne the entire field or a single grain. And then there's a little bit of a discussion in the poskim what type of kinyan you're using. So your laws are holds that since you don't know which ear of grain is leket, so the poor person can't do a kinyan, and that's why he has to give the entire stack. And the way that you do that is you do it on manatana manat lahachzir, and the owner gives to him as a present that must be returned, and then he returns it while withholding an ear of grain as leket. Rabbi Yossi holds that he has to do a kinyan, but it's only a kinyan on the ear of grain. So now, returning to the Bechorot case, what you can argue is no, the Machloka, the Tana Kama, and Rabbi Elazar is completely in line with the position that you actually have to do a kinyan on the Bechor and give it to the Kohen. Because here, everyone agrees that you're doing a kinyan. The only question is what you're doing a kinyan on, but they're not relying on the virtual, theoretical kinyan. Right? Because again, according to this position, both the Tanakh and Rabbi Elazar, I think you actually need to do a real kinyan, whether of the whole stack or of the ear of grain. But now, according to this interpretation, none of the Tanaim in our Mishnah hold that, again, that the poor person gets the grain, even though no kinyan was done. And therefore, both positions are in line with that understanding of the sugya of Bechor. So now Reimana continues and further pushes the position of Tana Kama and Rabbi Lazar. And he wants to know why the Tana Kama does not think that you should follow Rabbi Elazar and give the entire stack, right? Why does he think it's better to give one grain? Vatanya kadmaya savar meimar. So the Tana Kama says you don't give the entire stack because mizake mimino, because it's like making a kinyan from your right hand to your left hand, and it doesn't work. So what does that mean? So there are several. Well, I'll just continue first. But Tanya Chayes over Minei Mizaka Mimino Lismolo, and Rabbi Eliezer says no, it's not Uzechiyahi, and it actually works. Now, what do they mean? So there are different possibilities. This day Yeshua says that the machloket between the Tana Kama and Elazar is whether a matana amanat lahachzir, a matana that's given on condition that it be returned, counts as a matana or not. According to Tana Kama, it does not. And therefore, since you're giving the entire pile on the condition that it comes back. It's simply not a good kinyan because it's a matana mana achzir, and therefore he would rather give the single grain with all the conditions attached than give a matana mana achzir because it doesn't work. And Rabbi Elazar holds the matana mana achzir is shma matana. It does work, and therefore you can legitimately give the entire pile of grain with condition that is going to be given back to the owner, and that is why Rabbi Elazar thinks he should do it that way. A second possibility, and this is found in the Rosh Tzurilio, say that everyone agrees in principle that a matana manat lahachzir shma matana, that a gift given on the condition that it be returned works. Nevertheless, if you look at the Rosh Tzurilio, where he adds one suggestive word, and he says, "Lo nafik mirshute de balabait mechzi aichut kichuchov et lula kimi shemavir zchut mino lismalo nafik lushur achir." It looks like a joke, right? Yes, legally it's true that you're transferring it, but the reason he says you don't want to do this because it looks like a joke. The art scroll here quotes Chidushei Rav Solomon, who says that maybe it's a more subtle machloket, that everyone agrees a matamana lachzir works, but only if the person getting the gift has the rights to use it and benefit from it while it's in his possession. But here, the poor person takes it and gives it right back. And that, everyone is in agree, is not a legitimate matana, even a matana amanat lahachzir. So to summarize where we are so far, the Gemara has two ways of explaining the machloket between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer. According to Reish Lakish, the Tanakhama holds that it is not needed for the owner to do a proper kinyan to the poor person. Because even without a kinyan, the Rabbanan treat the poor person as having acquired the leket, wherever it is, and therefore he can automatically exchange it for whatever the owner happens to give him. And Rabbi Elazar disagrees and holds that you actually have to do a full valid kinyan. And this is in turn related to the position of Rabbi Yossi by Bechor, that the Rabbanan sometimes treat someone who didn't acquire something as having acquired it, and that works with the Tanakhama, and therefore the mission of Bechor, that understanding of Bechor, goes against Rabbi Elazar and is in line with the Tanakhama. Rabbi Mana says no. Rabbi Mana says that everyone agrees that the leket has to be conveyed to the poor person through a formal kinyan. The difference is whether you do the kinyan on the single grain, which is the position of the Tanakhama, even though it's a kinyan adavar that you don't know, and adavar shenam suyam that you can't identify. Rilazar holds it, since I don't know where it is, I have to do the entire stack, and then it's the problem of the matana manat lahachzir, as we talked about. Now the Mara Fulda has a different interpretation here, and he says that when the Gemara says the first Braita and the second Braita, it's not actually talking about the Braita, it's simply talking about Reish Lakish and Rabbi Ba, and he proves that at least sometimes the Gemara refers to Amoraim as Tanaim, as Tanya, and the Gra, as often happens, just changes the Girsa. And his gear says as follows, Tanya Kadmaya Savar Meimar. And then the Tanakhama holds that it's right, that although by doing a kinyan on the unidentified ear of Leket, Mizak Minolusmono, it's just going from your right hand to your left hand, Zachya. I mean, he's saying it's not a problem. The whole point is he doesn't think that making a kinyan from right hand to your left hand is a problem. Vatanya Achraya Savar Meimar, Mizak Minolusmono, Eina Zachaya He. Right. The whole problem is whether you think such a kinyan like this that's so easily reversed and it's like putting it from your right hand to your left hand works or not. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Abba, B'shem Yochanan, Mechalfa Shitate de Rabbi Eliezer. There seems to be an inconsistency in Rabbi Eliezer's position. Because Tamanu Omer, because in the previous Perek, we had said that a rich person who's gathering like in Shechan Peya, he can gather on behalf of a poor person, and that it works because of Zachan L'Adam Shlo B'Fanav. And here he says that you have to give the leket to the poor person, then have him do a kinyan back. Why? According to Elazar, you're allowed to have the rich person do a kinyan on behalf of the poor person. So none of this should even be relevant. Now, it's just worth noting that if you remember there, we noted that the Rash had said that when we say that a rich person can do a kinyan on leket for a poor person, we mean even the balabayit can do it. And Rashi disagreed. And Rashi said that it can be a rich person, but not the balabayit. The problem, as the Rash notes, is that this sugya clearly goes against Rashi because it says you shouldn't have to do this kinyan because the balabayit should be able to be kona the leket on behalf of the poor person and therefore affect the change himself. So how do you deal with this, Stira? Right? Why don't we just say that the balabayit does the kinyan himself? Why do you think that you need to virtually or actually give it to the poor person in order to affect the kinyan? So the Gemara says, "Bishitata neshivim." You're right. Elazar doesn't actually think you do that need this, but he's saying within the position of the Tanakama, "Bishitatchem," according to you, that somebody who can't take leket for himself can't be mezake leket to the poor person. Shatem omrim alide chalipin. So then I tell you that the only way for you to do the kinyan is by giving the entire stack and not the single grain, because heyachani has a machle davar shelo bar l'shuto, because he doesn't know what it is and never came into reshut. El mezakan ani b'chol agadish u'masar shebo l'racha v'notin lo. Meaning there's a double machloket. Rabbi Elazar himself thinks this is completely unnecessary, but he says if you disagree with him and you think that the balabayit can't do a kinyan, so then you do require some sort of kinyan to the ani, then he says, well, once you hold that, how can you get away by simply giving a single grain? That's crazy. The only way for you to do this is to give him the entire gadish, and therefore and then allow him to give it back. Now the Sefer Nir notes that that this whole thing only works with a view of Reish Lakish. According to Elazar, it's possible for the poor person to acquire the leket even though it is unidentifiable. But Rabbi Yochanan has no right. His question doesn't work according to Rimana, who holds Elazar holds that leket cannot be acquired by itself. Therefore, Sefer Nir suggests that discussion is coming to refute Rabbi Mana and support Reish Lakish. Right? So according to him, he keeps the text that we have in our Gemara, which is a little bit problematic, which is a Tani Rebbe Zera. And the Gemara means, how can Rabbi Mana's understanding be correct when it's clear from Zera's teaching that Rabbi Elazar considers it possible for the owner to convey to a poor person the leket by himself? But we will leave it there, and that brings us to the Mishnah on Mem Vav.